Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Some breaking news here. We've got the jobs number just came out, and the market is absolutely shocked. Get right into an article from CNBC diving into the details. Headline, payroll and wages blow past expectations, flying in the face of Fed rate hikes. And we're going to dive into the minutia here in just a moment. It might not be as rosy as it appears on the surface. Non-farm payrolls increased to 263,000 for the month, while unemployment rate stayed at 3.7. You say, George, how on earth can the unemployment rate stay at 3.7 if the rate exceeds expectations by so much, or the increase in payrolls? Because the labor force participation tanked again down. I think it's at a low point, even maybe over the last, at least the last couple of years, or since the lockdowns. So you've got to think through why. Why is the labor force participation plummeting? Is it because we have a booming economy? Yeah, I don't think so. Let's keep going here. The payroll numbers well above the 200,000 estimate. Again, there are 263. Average hourly earnings jumped 0.6 for the month, double the estimate. And this would lead one to believe that we might get some disinflation, but the inflation is still going to be pretty sticky. I don't know if we see that inflation number come down to 2% anytime soon, but we'll have to wait and see. This is just, it's like the Lenin quote that we always say on this channel. Decades go by that nothing happens, and weeks that go by when decades happen. And I think we're going to be seeing that throughout the rest of this year, and definitely headed into 2023. Going to be a lot to talk about on this channel, that's for sure. So it says numbers will likely do little to slow the Fed. Well, maybe it'll prompt the Fed to increase even more. I'd be interested to see what the probability of a 75 basis point hike has gone to. I think the market was pretty much expecting 50. Maybe we'll have to do another video on that today. In fact, Josh, can you look that up for me? In real time, what the odds are that the Fed goes...
Oh, they increase big time. I don't know. I don't have the exact numbers, but I vaguely remember the chances of like a 75 basis point hike was somewhere between like 17 and 20%. And then it was up towards like 30% or something like that.
After the jobs numbers came out though?
Yeah. It was right after. So I don't
just know. Like a half hour ago or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I was checking earlier today.
Okay. Well, let's get some exact numbers here while I'm talking. So if you could do that for me, I'd appreciate it. And then getting back to our article, the numbers will do little to slow the Fed. Like we said, it might even prompt them to increase more than they would in December. And what this flies in the face of is not necessarily the Fed and its interest rate hikes, but maybe more so the yield curve. Talked about that on last night's whiteboard video. And I think I'll actually do a separate video on that today, just going over the kind of the nuance with the curve and how the inversion point has gone from 1 year, 2 year to 6 month, 1 year. That actually happened yesterday. Josh, I don't know if you saw that. That's really big news. So, and then the Fed, as we know, usually follows the 2 year. So I think the 2 year high mark or high water mark was about maybe 4.5, 4.6. Now that's down to 4.19. And I know it bounced back up to about 4.34. So we'll have to watch that like a hawk as well. But again, I want to go through a deep dive in a video later on today on that topic specifically. So the big sector gainers, healthcare, no surprise there. Oh boy, 42,000 for government. Wah, wah, wah. We never like to see that here on the Rebel Capitalist channel. I always like that number to be a negative. A category that includes personal What? Am I reading this right? A category that includes personal and laundry services, and which showed a total gain of 24,000. What? Hold on. They break the jobs numbers down and they have an actual category for laundry services. Okay. I find that hard to believe, but all righty then. Oh, social assistance saw a rise of 23,000, which the Labor Department said brings the sector back where it was in February of 2020, right before the Cerveza sickness. Right, but that's not good. I mean, just because we have the same number of jobs we had prior to the Cerveza sickness, that's bad. That's really bad. That means the economy is completely stagnant. And that's with all the stimulus, for heaven's sakes. What happens as we're seeing that start to fade? I mean, the Keynesians just assume that the economy, the free market, just takes the ball and runs with it. I don't think so. That's assuming that there hasn't been significant damage done to the overall economy by the government intervention. You know, it's very much like kind of a car engine, the way the Keynesians see it. And if your car engine is kind of sputtering, and maybe it's running out of gas, let's say. And let's just assume for a moment that you put, just to get to the gas station, you put in some additional form of fuel, but isn't really gas. Let's just say for a moment that a gas car could run on diesel, which I know it can't, but let's just say it could run for like a half an hour or something like that, or an hour on diesel fuel. That what the Keynesians believe is that, okay, if the car's running out of gas, let's just go ahead and put some diesel in there, just enough to get to the gas station. But then they think that, okay, once I get to the gas station, I can just fill it up with normal fuel and then take off like nothing ever happened. And I just go right back to going 80 miles per hour. And what they don't realize in this example is that diesel fuel destroys the motor, hypothetically. I don't know if it actually would, but hypothetically here, right? And that's the key difference here. They don't realize that what they do just to get to the gas station makes the motor far less efficient, if not breaks the motor completely to where it needs to be rebuilt. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts, Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. Construction added 20,000 positions. I think we're going to be seeing that come down substantially in 2023. Retail lost 30,000. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all because of the bullwhip effect. I think the biggest surprise in this entire report is that they break things down by laundry services. That's the biggest shocker here. But let's go over to Twitter, and a good friend of mine, Danielle DiMartino Booth, after this jobs report came out, she said, which survey is lying? And what she's talking about here is something that Snyder's pointed out constantly. And that's this massive delta between the establishment survey and the household survey. And this number that just crushed expectations, this was the establishment survey. I forgot the main differences there. I'll have to look into that for the next video because it's been a while since I've discussed that. But what we've seen in the past, and I'm just doing this off of memory, is the chart stays pretty similar. And then in like a year ago or so, it really starts to spread. And the establishment number goes up, and then the household number just flatlines. To where I know last month there was a difference of like a million jobs. Now I'm assuming that delta has increased even further.
Right now, you know what the probability of the 50%, a 50 basis point rate hike is 78.2% priced in.
What about a 75 basis point hike?
That doesn't say. Like right now, this is, or it's Let's look at this chart. I don't know how accurate it is, but can you see it?
Yeah.
So this guy was saying that there's pretty much no change for a 50 basis point, but a 75 basis point has increased. It seems like there's no way we get a 25 basis point hike.
Yeah, right. So the 75 basis point hike, the probability went from what to what?
From 21% to 25%.
Ah, okay. And then the, yeah, so it, and then the 50 basis point decreased slightly.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Thanks for that real time data, Josh. Let's get back to Danielle's tweet. And now that I'm thinking about it, I believe the big difference between the establishment and the household is the household doesn't double count jobs. And what I mean by that is if someone has, they're like one of the Jamaicans on an In Living Color skit. If you guys remember that show, and they're like the Jamaican people that have like 15 jobs each. The household survey just counts that as one, where the establishment survey counts that as 15 jobs, even though it's one person working the same job. So I think that was the biggest difference.
And what about with the video that you did yesterday, where the lazy quitting, where people weren't working and potentially getting more jobs?
Okay, so that's what I was going to say, is I think the reason we see the labor force participation decreasing so much is exactly what we discussed on that video yesterday. Josh, if you want to do me a favor and put the link to that, if you got that handy, like in the chat. This was about quiet quitting, and it's about all these other terms that are booming in popularity on Reddit for a lot of the younger people that just are flat out saying, I don't want to work anymore. I would rather just take unemployment and live in my mom's basement than actually pursue a life of productivity. And it blows my mind, because that's so antithetical to how I was raised. And I don't want to go down that path, but for most of you, I'm sure you were raised just to be a hard worker, not because you were going to get any, well, sure, the fringe benefit of being a hard worker is that you might make more money, you get a promotion. But even if you don't, that's not the point of being a hard worker. The way I was raised, you're a hard worker because that shows your character. And it doesn't, you know, so regardless of whether it's helping you get further in at the workplace, you still do the very best you can every single time you go into work and try to exceed expectations, not for your job or not for your boss or whatever, but for you and how other people view you in the world. And the way I was brought up, one of the greatest compliments you could have is you're a hard worker. And I think we've completely lost that in society. And that's why I think you're seeing that, or one of the reasons why you're seeing that labor force participation come down so much. Now, what is bizarre to me is at some point, these people still have to put food on the table. I don't care how much you hate work or how much you feel like you're not being paid what you're worth, or how much you hate your boss, or you know, or how much you want to quiet quit, or whatever it is, you still have to put food on the table. So I'm sitting here scratching my head saying, okay, I get all these people not wanting to work, but when I was growing up, that was not an option. Like, you couldn't choose to work or not to work. You had to work to survive. So I don't know how these people are surviving. I think that's the big question here. And when do we see that reality come to light in the actual numbers? And maybe we won't see that till 2023. Maybe that's what the bond market's predicting. All right, guys, and enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism. See you in the next video.